Hello and welcome everyone to this episode of the Uber Brands podcast, the podcast in which we talk to people who create brands that have meaning beyond the material. And today I will share an interview that I recorded in Paris with prestige and lifestyle brand creator extraordinaire, Ramdan Touhami. You might have heard about him in the context of streetwear, skateboards, or other things, art and fashion, but we're gonna talk about his latest ventures, which are dedicated to resuscitating and reinventing French heritage brands like Sir Trudon, a candle company, or his very latest venture, L'Officine Universelle Bully, a beauty product and retail business. I strongly recommend you take a look at our podcast notes on our blog at uberbrands.com, that's spelled with a U-E, to dive a little bit into the very rich background of Ramdan and his amazing creations before you listen. That will make the interview even more insightful, I think, and maybe also easier to follow. You will hear Ramdan talk about selling as a lost art form, but also how and why he creates what he calls hyperreal environments. Environments that exceed even your wildest fantasies about the world of Paris and beauty. We will also dare to compare and benchmark some of the other beauty players to conclude that Ramdan is, quote, too crazy to be copied. Enjoy.
Please listen carefully.
So today I'm with Ramdan Touhami, a real magician when it comes to creating Uber brands. Alors for Ramdan, Uber brands for us are brands that go above and beyond, trying to achieve more than just the train-train quotidien and like contribute to humanity, to the arts, to sports, philosophy. They want to be more than a soap, a handbag, a bicycle or whatever. They have larger aspirations. And it seemed to us that you're serial creator of these kind of brands.
This is very funny. I'm not trying to be more than a soap brand.
Actually, you're not trying to be more than a soap brand, okay?
I don't want to be more than that. I don't want to be more than a perfume brand. This is not exactly, maybe some brands wants to be more than that. This is the problem. I want to be less than that. I want to be the minimal, like I just want to have a good brand with good product.
A minimal brand that is in Rue Bonaparte, not has a minimal, flamboyant boutique.
People think minimal brand is just the aesthetic or flamboyant. No. My thing is minimal. Like, I want to sell my product. That's it. And actually, the problem of many companies are trying to sell something else. Voilà, me, why it works, because we're not trying to sell something else. We are selling amazing soap or an amazing perfume, amazing product. Anything or candle in my store with the best service. That's it.
If that is the case, why does it have to be inspired by Balzac? Why does it have to be used by Madame de Pompadour? Why does Napoleon?
Because you sell a product within one city. And if I go to London, I'm looking for Victorian. If I go to New York, I'm looking for Art Deco, skyscraper, 1920s, when these people were building all that. If I go to Roma, I'm looking for antique. If I go to, if I go to Berlin, I'm looking for hipster with beard and with very bad coffee. And if I go to Paris, I'm looking for 18th or 19th century.
But isn't it a dream? Why source from history? Why isn't it just the plain product? You just showed me a video about...
I can do modern. I did modern.
Okay.
I can do anything. The thing is...
Right, but the product needs to be augmented by some kind of meaning and history, no? It's not just selling itself
No history.
No history.
No, because you just have to analyze. Paris has about 40 million tourists in the world, which is, just to let people know, six times Milano, six times Roma, many times London. We are the number one place in the world, like, for visiting. People
right.
Forget 86 million tourists per year in France, 40 million Paris. That's absurd numbers. And people come with a fantasy of Paris. I just deliver that with good product. But I played, alors, historically, I love historical things. I think they are more beautiful. That's why I'm doing that in beauty. But I did modern as well. And also, I work what I call the hyper-realism. Umberto Eco, many people wrote about that. But hyper-realism, you arrive, you have a fantasy of somewhere or some place or some product, and when you arrive, it's beyond your fantasy. Donc, you are in your mind, you have like, ah, my dream is to have that, and I'm going to go to Paris. I have like, when you do like a bench, I don't know, like a mix of all the images of Paris, and you arrive, and when you go to a place, it's beyond your expectation.
And you make it surreal. The wall wraps into the ceiling.
The hyper-realism, you have the word hyper, you have to be hyper more than the reality. Donc, you have to play on... Everything, the cursor is at maximum plus.
What do you think is the reason why people, it seems particularly young people, are driven to that in an age of the internet, total transparency? Shouldn't they be matter of fact and say, I don't want to buy fufu, I want to buy just a moisturizing cream?
My average clientele is a 45 plus. Look, me up. I don't have this feeling.
You don't have?
No, it's everyone wants, people wants... Look, first, when you do a product, you have to think about, it has to be beautiful. Why? Because a nice, beautiful product, you show it in your bathroom, as like for the, what we do, soap and perfume or whatever, and creams, it's decorating. Look, if you don't do a product that doesn't decorate, don't even try. Look, it has to be beautiful.
It has to give you something to talk about.
Beautiful, it's, for me, it's first the decorative aspect. And after, you have to be happy to have it. It's beautiful. You carry it. It's happy to show it as well and to talk about it also. But it's very important, but it has to have a second life as well.
A second life. Talk to me about second life of the product.
When I do a candle in marble, and when you finish your marble thing, jar, you can use it for the flowers. It's what I call the second life. And people are just like use it again for another thing. It's not the purpose I sold it for, but I love to see my, what I always say to my people, say, you know, Billy packaging, you will see it in a flea market in 20, 30 years.
And that is your dream?
No, it's going to happen. It's not my dream. And you won't find Aesop or anyone.
You will not find Aesop?
No.
Okay.
Because you threw up all the packaging in the
garbage.
But
isn't Aesop also just a modern philosophy and dream about
it's
beauty?
Also, we're not talking about the same thing here. I'm talking about the fact that in the future you will see my product, not my product, my packaging reused. I love
yes.
the reuse.
Yes.
I don't like plastic. My competitor use plastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the packaging itself. Aesop is selling something else, selling a status.
It's also selling a philosophy, an ideology, a way of life.
A status.
But
if
don't
like
you
it,
think that your consumer
you go,
also is looking for a status when they
maybe,
come here?
Maybe, but we are not there yet. When you see Aesop clientele, how they do their shop, where are the shop located, where they want people to use their product, what type of people who buy it, it's kind of the same people. Like a CSP++ who love architecture and modern things.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the whole thing because they analyze where they go to eat, you have the product and everything.
And la mise en scène is also very important for you, right? It seems like people fold the packaging in very...
Not the mise en scène.
Asian, careful, considered ways, etc. Is that part of...
No, I this is an important thing, but we are facing a problem in all these service jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Waiter in a restaurant or salespeople in a shop. It's not a métier. It's not a job. It's just a little job. They don't do career. People are, every people you meet in a cafe, you hire and everything. So I'm doing that, waiting for a better thing.
Your aspiration is your people do this see it as a métier and
if you want
are
them,
here to stay.
If you want them to do a career as a salesperson in the shop, you have to teach them many things, plating, calligraphy, and many things. If you want them, they have to feel that this is art, this is a real job, where we learn. No one does that,
mm-hmm.
only us. No mm-hmm. one does that. This is the problem. They have staff, have people with a career. This is the big world, big difference. And I don't give a shit about the marketing aspect of it. Honestly speaking, I don't care. My thing is, how to keep people, teaching them, making them comfortable and give them the feeling. And it's true, and I feel that selling is a fantastic job in the shop. It's an underestimated job. Mm-hmm. No one wants to do that. But when you go to Billy, the best salary are not in the offices. They're in the stores.
Which rewards what is important in the experience of the brand. You consider the shopping experience to be one of the most important parts of the brand?
It's not an experience. It's selling. The word people use are really bothering me. Experience? It's not an experience. I fucking sell. And they do it well. This is, they're selling.
But are you not bursting the bubble of your own creation? I mean, don't tell me people come here, they say, I need a good soap. So that is the only reason I come here. I could have gone to Marionneau, or I could have gone to...
They come for the best soap. Most important for me is the product.
Okay.
Most important is the...
Give me an example of how that comes to life. Like, how do you jump through hoops?
120 oils made by the best farms for this, all the problem of skin and air and everything. Biggest section in the world of clay is the same. No plastic. Water-based perfume, one of the only one really work. We invented it. The soap, it's a sundet, it's not a normal soap. Yes, people are addicted to our product. They come the first time for the packaging, but they come back a lot for something else. And also you have, of course, a little side which is the gifting part, like the calligraphy, the wrapping and everything. Of course they come for that, but this is not the most. They're attracted by the location, the beautiful thing that... But yeah. It's the first reason. But
so you would be disappointed if people tell you that they come because of the location, because they can tell
beautiful.
Their friends.
Huh? Because it's beautiful.
Yeah?
I hate that.
You hate that?
People say, I come to you, I buy your stuff because it's beautiful. I hate it. It makes me totally mad.
But you're okay if then they discover that the product is fantastic and they come back.
Of course.
But so this is the marketing part. This is the sale part.
For me, I hate when people tell me I came, it's beautiful.
Okay.
I love the product, it's beautiful.
Okay.
When they say that, I'm totally panicking.
Why don't you make it ugly? You could just wrap it
because I don't know how to do it.
Jars, apothecary, whatever.
I don't know how to make it ugly. I don't know how to make it. It's harder for me.
Because you're aesthete.
This is my background.
You're visual, you're okay.
Yes.
And you say you don't give a shit, you want to sell. Sounds very rough, sounds very direct. But how do you make money with 700 SKU and Earth from...
You make money. Not a lot. Of course, there's a few SKU. You can make enough money to make us living. But it doesn't make sense for me. We have a new concept. It's a new concept. It's a new... We open a new window. We are what we call a beauty emporium. We are between pharmacies and perfume shop.
Yeah.
Because we are fixing problems. But we have a lot of accessories and a lot of SKU. Donc, to make this thing happen, to be between these two worlds, you need to have a lot of SKU. You need to have a shop which fill up with things. You cannot do a little bit of it. You cannot do a little part of it. We are creating a new business model who doesn't exist.
You're like a druid.
Druid, well, we go, we source beauty secret, we go all over the world, we write books about that.
Myth and magic is important.
Yeah, you were here sitting, you were showing a little video we did about one stone we're bringing from the north of Russia.
Right.
We go all over I travel all over the world. I was in Russia for this trip. And I'm going next week to whatever, I don't know.
Do you believe in the magic of the stone?
Not this one.
But you're still going to sell it?
Because I'm not the only guy who decide.
Okay.
There's people who vote here. And they tasted it. And they said, it's amazing.
So you go with some of the believers. You say, you believe, we sell it.
We have my wife, many people here who test the product. We say, it works, it's amazing, change our life, we do it. But I'm not going to use 800 different products. I use the one I need. The one I need, they work very
well. For everyone, their regimen.
Yeah, we have for every single problem a solution. For skin.
Now, you've had incredible success with Sir Trudon.
Yeah.
You sold it.
I sold my shares.
And
not enough.
Is the four not enough? But is the end game here also that at one point you get bored? Or how does it work? Is it how long your patience lasts?
I get bored, but it's sadly, I get bored pretty quick, very strangely, when I start to manage too much people.
So it's the organization aspect. In fact,
I don't like to manage humans.
Growth and scaling is difficult for you?
Well, right now we are 160 people. Don't it's already big for me, too big for me, but I'm doing it. I dig. Alors, certainly I sold it not for this reason. I sold it because I had a partner who didn't think like me. Donc, we were fighting every
clash
day.
It was no fun.
Not fun at all. I don't know if I'm going to sell Billy. Maybe never. Maybe tomorrow. I have no idea. It's just a question. I'm tired physically, psychologically, because I'm controlling everything. I design by myself the shop. I choose all the product. I travel. I do the videos. I'm dead. Managing people and everything. I'm always tired. Donc, maybe one day I'll say, I'm too tired. Let's stop it. It's also physical. It's your physique has some limit. If you want to keep it the high, you see, when you go to a store, people are amazed by the level of quality of the staff and the knowledge and everything. Donc, we push the thing so high. For example, we want the staff to be like a pharmacist or a doctor, to know so much. Donc, we're teaching them nonstop. The obsession of that is that. Like this, when someone knows so much, you cannot tell him you're wrong. Yeah, I never see the guy, pharmacist say, you need this pill because you have a headache. And the guy said, no, this pill doesn't. You say bullshit. You cannot, if you are in front of you someone who has so much knowledge, you cannot say something against him. Same for the doctors, something you have something, no, I have something else. Look, it's the same for the staff. Look, more they have knowledge, more you are impressed. And also you respect them when you see them. You see a staff start to do calligraphy. He's not a staff anymore. You see him as an artist. Also, it's a lot of little things.
You're talking about the packaging reselling in 20 years in the flea markets. What's your vision for something like Bully or Surtrudon? Is it still there in 30 years?
Surtrudon doesn't... I don't know what they're going to do. And it's a candle. It's a candle maker who's here for 400 years. I think he's going to be here for the next 200 years. Yeah, I believe he's here forever. Like, yeah.
But you brought it back to life. It was defunct. It was gone.
There was one product called Le Vinaigre de Bully. It was sold only for the old ladies. It was sold in a few places. It was actually doing very well in Colombia.
What will make this last? What will make this last if the previous ones appeared? What is different?
I see an amazing future for Bully for one reason. People are trusting right now only, they are changing. They don't want to go to this manufacturer beauty. We are the only one, you go to the store and say, I want manufacturer or unmanufacturer. This is the only place in the world.
They want authentic, made by hand,
you arrive at the
researched
store and say, I want something like chemical, we have it. We have something modern, who's been here for 2,000 years. Okay, and all the beauty, if we are not these people who are leading that, a lot of beauty secrets like Yonohana powder from Japan or Oguizu powder from Japan and many others are going to disappear within a generation.
So you see yourself as a preserver of traditions and...
Yeah. And fighting against the big ones. When you have the trend, late 80s, of the argan oil, when everyone goes argan oil, like all the big brands, they destroy a whole region. People become slaves in a factory to make argan oil. You think you deliver thousands of tons of argan oil for L'Oreal or for Shiseido, whatever, without changing the environment? Us, we work with 86 old ladies who has 2 or 3 hectares and she produces only for us. And she does it in an old way. We have videos with us. She works with us. She delivers every day for us, and we are very happy. We are trying to make sure that these people don't be destroyed by this big thing.
How do you avoid that you repeat something like Kiehl's or Aesop? You don't seem to appreciate too much.
Aesop?
That L'Oreal makes you a good offer. There's 500 Bully.
Let's be clear. Aesop, I never said I don't like it. I said it's a different world.
Okay, it's a different world.
It's not our world.
Yeah.
And I like...
You respect him.
But the only guy in the beauty business I really said this guy is smarter than me...
Dennis Pafilis.
Dennis. Okay. And I met him in 1997 in Melbourne. He was a hairdresser and I was staying in his house and I still stay in his house. Dennis is a genius.
Okay.
The guys after him, I have no idea.
It's a different dream. It's a different ideology.
He did. From day one, he was in his intellectual field, writing, philosopher, things in his own house. And I was there. I was staying there. And he has a clear vision of his brand. and he's a genius in terms of marketing, creating a brand.
But now it's Natura, it's a Brazilian, he has sold out. Bulli, can you imagine Bulli being bought by L'Oreal? You were just talking about L'Oreal.
I have no idea.
And is that then still legitimate or does it lose its soul?
It depends the way they're going to do it if they buy it. The way they're going to do it, if they say, okay, we had offers, honestly speaking, many offers. And when this question came on the table, we didn't sell. When they said, oh,
and what is the key reason? What's the key reason not to sell?
When they say, there's too many SKU.
Yeah, of course.
They said that.
Of course.
We said, fuck that. We don't care.
It's a condition for you that they would be fine with that?
If they start with this question, it means they didn't understand the project. Like, you don't sell a project to someone who didn't understand it.
What do you think they want to buy and what do you want to sell? Why are they coming to you? Why are they desperate to come to you?
Now, right now, it's very strange. Something happened a lot since the last two years. Like, we're hiring people, doing the casting. Some people coming from competitors. They come to us to work for us and say, we are copying you every day. That is very funny. People, they work for our competitors, say, we are copying, we look at your catalogs, the way you write the text and everything. We all copy, and we want to work with you. We prefer to be with the original than copying you. They want to buy us for us. I think the people who want to buy us right now, it's because they think there's a market for it, but also because they want to have access to all the things we produce.
Storytelling?
Not storytelling. It's not storytelling. When you talk about when you go to Island in the south of Japan about the camellia oil, it's not storytelling. It's showing them, teaching people where's this oil coming, how they use it, why they use it, and why how oil is the best. That's it. And meeting and put a name on the guy who's producing it. It's not storytelling. It's teaching people. We think it's time to teach people. But the old way to do cosmetic for the last 50 years is a fucking wrong idea. It's stupid. Plastic is stupid. When you see organic brands, organic, they use plastic.
What do you think about Dr. Hauschka?
Alors, total respect, because
they were
the first, these German companies, but they're German. The problem, they are German.
They're German engineers.
But they are the first to open the door.
So you're more romantic.
Yeah, there's no romantic in German. German, they are good. They say, we do a good product. They don't have the twist, but they do very well. I see more the Toshka or Veleda to be my competitor than Aesop or Kills or whatever.
Sense.
Yeah. We are not doing it the same way. We're doing it with us in a romantic way. You're right, as an adventurous, very French, je ne sais quoi thing. The only one who can beat us, who can do it, Italian, but they don't do it because they're not smart enough. And right now, in the beauty field, they're very smart in the fashion field. But not in a bit.
So your augmentation, your Uber, above and beyond, is a romantic dream, is a fantasy, is a surrealism, is a hyper-reality, is a...
No, we are filling up a need. We fill up many questions that no one fill up.
Does the internet age?
Not yet.
Cell phone help you to make
not
an
yet.
Even bigger need?
Not yet.
But you think it will, even more?
We, because we're working on it. And we are coming with a huge thing that no one did. But
you mean translating Bulli to the internet?
To the world.
Okay.
Right now, we're just like starting. It's actually right now, it's not. If honest, you ask me why I don't sell it, because right now it's just warming up.
Right.
What we are preparing is pretty big.
So I understand you're going to the internet. The question I had is, with everyone glued to their cell phone
we
and
are preparing,
Facebook,
we're going to give them.
Aren't they getting poorer in their mind, and so stories like these are becoming even more exciting, even more special, even more things that you desire, that you want, seductive.
They are not poor. People are not poor looking at this screen nonstop. They're just the barrier in their mind of the truth and the fake. It's like they're all falling down. We are confronted to so many images, so many information per day that at the beginning, like 20 years ago, we had time to say this one is good, this one
yes.
is bad.
Now,
but now it's like a tsunami, a full time tsunami. It's hard to say this one is right. You cannot do how to say tri en français.
Sort it out.
Yeah, you don't sort it out. The one is good or is bad. And us, we want to, in this middle of this mess, we want to bring a little bit of a different way to talk. Different. The package is different. Aesthetically, is different. But also what we're showing is different.
And the message is different.
Yeah.
And you will translate it to digital.
Yeah, but in a big, big time. We just invested, I just invested $3 million on that.
Can we get a next interview after you're done with that?
It's going to be big. I think the beauty business don't have passionate people anymore. Too many people are there because they're doing business school. They see the thing. They think it's easy, nice packaging. A lot of brands are doing it, but it's easy. Find a nose, a good graphic designer, good gallery image, nice packaging, tac, 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 and they launch.
So all these indie brands, Glossier, etc.
Alors, Glossier, it's a genius because this girl, honestly speaking, can't stand her. She knows that. She's a horrible thing. She's super smart because she created a stupid magazine, the Beyond Stupid. So asking beautiful women what were their beauty secrets. Asking model why they are beautiful. It's the dumbest question ever. And people start to look at this magazine. It start to be big because the only concept was what do you have in your bathroom? But when you're 23, you're a good-looking woman and you don't have any problem of skin, normal, but...
But it works very well. It's on fire.
Thing went bananas, very high. Respect about that.
But you think it's one of those things that will be found out, that people will question authenticity in a few years?
She did exactly what happened with Supreme in the streetwear, but I know very well because it's my background. And she did it in the beauty. She did this hysterical thing. Genius! But it's super... In terms of intellectual, the level is
It's superficial.
Oh, we are not learning anything. We are creating an hysteria.
But here's the thing. Earlier you compared German Dr. Hauschka with you, and you said, I elevated by having romanticism. An American might say, I elevated by being popular. So you do your romantic thing, you're French, and that's because of that. Wonderful. I don't care about Bonaparte. I don't care about Louis XIV. I care about popular girls who are the stars of the street, and that's my brand.
She did.
Why is one better than the other?
Oh, I don't think I'm at that level. Me, nice packaging, nice girls who showing the thing on the social media, hysteria of social media, make money because this woman and I have it. I hope my clients are not buying things because they saw it with a famous person.
But it's not for you, anyway.
Yeah, anyway, I'm not the target. I'm just trying to explain that packaging is not enough. You have to drive something else. They're not bringing anything else. It's just packaging and hip. And hip is okay. But the cycle is short. Me, I'm working on the institutional business. I make, Certoudan is an institution, and the people arrive now in
France. You want to create an institution?
I did it already. It's an institution. Okay. You just have to see the numbers. It's becoming an institution very quick.
Numbers, what kind of numbers? Visitors, sales?
Yes, everything. Certoudan was not called Certoudan before 2007, before I arrived. It was called CIR. He was making candle only for the church.
Churches, yeah.
Right now, every fucking tourist who's looking for a candle in Paris goes to Certoudan to buy one. It's automatic. And even the people in the street, when you ask them 1 or 2 years after I revamped it, they said, no, it's been here forever. This is what call an institutional business.
But isn't it artificial authenticity? You call it revamped. You pick it up, you take the L off the bully for trademark reason. Isn't it all artificial? Isn't it a nicer Disney world of beauty?
No.
What is the difference between Disney world and yours?
I'm the only guy who goes to all over the world.
So it's the sourcing, it's the
beauty secret, biggest selection of clays in the world.
So it's the authenticity of the product, the matière première, the raw product.
Thing. Everything is organic. We have shea butter directly.
So the cire Trudon is a real special cire?
Yeah, also. I invented the jars from the candle on the top. See, maybe it was not so superficial because everyone copied it. I invented the glass jar to smell the candle. And funny, no, we are not artificial. We are making sure that in one generation, all these beauty secrets are not disappearing. We are working hard to make it happen. And this is a big deal. This is more than what you think. Not just like selling stupid, nice packaging shit. I'm not into that.
You're into building institutions.
And I'm sure that in a few years, people will be again finding amazing oils, like, I don't know, Kurkuma, whatever, Mongongo, whatever oils in the world. they will be sure that it's still here because a little bit of us, the good quality. We are here, on a, like we say in France, gardien du temple.
Gardien du temple, the keepers of the treasure.
Exactement. We are here to make sure the next generation will have still here. And we have, like we say in France, cahier des charges in terms of quality, with the highest in the market. We check
your specifications for the products.
We go.
Who makes your stuff?
Oh, farmers all over the world.
But in the end, it's not filled by a subcontractor who
no.
also works for L'Oréal.
We used at the beginning.
Shiseido
we used. No one. Alors, be careful. That you say Shiseido. Shiseido, strangely, when it happens, for example, for the camellia oil, which in Japanese we call tsubaki oil, they go to the best supplier. And when we went to this best in the best, everyone say, this is this guy, and we visit him, supply us and Shiseido. The Shiseido pick the best. That is something we were surprised. Actually, in a few places in the world, many places, we go like, Shiseido is there.
Okay, so Shiseido is special among the mass beauty?
Not the, we have, be careful, we have 120 oils. We found Shiseido 5-6 times.
Are there secrets that you're willing to share with them? Or
who?
The mass manufacturers?
No.
If they say, I want to get a little bit of your...
Yeah. No, and...
Can example, they do it?
If they work hard, no. No, I think I'm smarter than them.
Okay.
Because one brain works better than many brains.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no compromise or why?
I'm no compromise. With me, I'm too hardcore.
But when you say...
I teach, for example, my supplier to supply me oils. Sometimes we analyze oils, we see dust. Because they took the fruit, they don't clean them enough. Da, da, da. We teach them how to...
You teach them how to
yeah.
produce the
yes,
product
small,
properly.
Small production we had a few times in India, in Morocco, to teach them be careful.
Where did you get the qualification from? Are you a Renaissance man? You just know how
I'm
to
surrounded
do?
By chemists around me. I pick the right people around me.
So you surround yourself with the talent you need?
Yeah, but at the beginning of that, I don't do the analyze. I'm not a chemist myself, but I tell them, guys, let's make sure the quality is high. Don't we check? We are obsessed with details. That's why I know big companies will never be at the level of quality we are looking. We are too crazy.
Craziness is part of your recipe?
Yeah, it's the main thing.
And what kind of craziness is that?
Crazy about details. I can fire someone because his gestures are not enough good for me in the shop, you know? The way you do the things. The gesture I'm...
To like wrap the soap
sometimes
or
guy,
to write the...
Someone does the thing.
You're showing me how not to do it, just for people who
I
listen.
I spend a lot of time in my stores, okay? This is something I check. They don't know I'm here, I'm looking. And at the end of the day, I come and say, be careful your gesture.
Mm.
I saw it at that client in particular. Saturday, I saw someone like that who passed by. C'est bon, t'as terminé? My wife.
Bonjour.
Il y a Shiseido qui est là, ils sont venus? Si, Shiseido come to learn.
C'est la machine qui a ici.
Mais regarde, my wife is here, and Shiseido are coming to learn about Japanese beauty here. You see how far we are?
I see where you feel your reward is, which is very good.
My
which
wife.
Is very good.
Beaucoup de choses. Je dirais que ça c'est plutôt quand les clients sont contents, qu'on se sent très récompensé de tout le travail.
Elle a raison. C'est quand les clients sont contents. When the clients are happy, we are happy. Because what at the end we do, which is the other don't do. We deliver, wow. You open the door, wow. The store is amazing. They are polite, wow. The product, wow. The packaging, wow. The calligraphy, wow. The you come home, efficient, wow. Our job, delivering, wow. That's it.
Interview. Excellent.
Voilà.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
C'était super.
Voilà, voilà.
And you, dear listener, if you thought that this podcast is a wow as well, then don't hesitate to subscribe to it, recommend us to others, and in particular, give us some good ratings on iTunes to shoot us up in the rankings. And as I said at the beginning, there is very rich material, not only on this podcast, but on Überbranding in general on our blog at überbrands.com, and that is spelled with a U-E as it should be. And for now, I say tschüss and see you next time. Bye-bye.